about disciple making. So the word disciple means somebody that follows Jesus in the sense of an apprentice, someone that's coached by Jesus, mentored by Jesus. That's what a disciple is. And as it says in the slide there, Jesus' mission was to launch a discipleship making movement. And our mission is to continue making disciples who make disciples. So Pastor Pete said it this morning when he got up here, Jesus didn't come to earth 2,000 years ago to start a religion. He didn't come to start Christianity. He didn't come to set up an institution and buildings and rules and policies and to make money and build cathedrals and all of these kinds of things. This has all come secondary. It's flowed out of Christianity. Jesus came to start a relationship with humanity. That was the point of Jesus coming. He came to say that, look, humanity, people out there, there is a way to God. And Jesus himself actually said, I am the way, or I am the door. I'm the entrance point to get to God. And that's what he came to do. It was more of a movement, a people movement. And as we know, in the first century, the Roman Empire was dominating the world. But Christianity, as a very, very small minority in Jerusalem, followers of Jesus, they initially called it the way. Then call it Christianity for a long time. That came centuries later. They called it the way. There was this way of living that was different from the paganism of the Roman Empire. And this little, small, persecuted minority, most Christians were killed for their faith in the first couple of centuries. They began to follow Jesus and live in the way of Jesus. And one of the main ways of living in the way of Jesus, or following the way of Jesus, or being a Christian or a disciple, is to pray. Is to have a relationship with God through prayer. Who's married or got a girlfriend or got a friend and you never talk to them? Nobody. Okay, so to have a basics of a relationship is communication. The basics of building a relationship. So when you met that beautiful young girl and wanted to sweep her off your feet and marry her, then you had to go and talk to her. You had to build up the courage to take her out and talk to her. And she wasn't going to marry you if you couldn't talk and you couldn't hold a conversation. And then some of you stopped talking once you got married. I know, but that's another marriage problem we'll talk about in another day. But you talked a lot in that dating period, that courtship time, because a relationship is built on communication. It's the same with God. God is always talking. Steve heard God talk to him in the shower in his late 30s, but God had always been talking, always reaching out, always waiting for him. And those powerful words that God said to him, I chose you a long time ago. A long time ago. The day that you would catch up with that is a whole different thing. So we've been talking about prayer. The next slide here says that prayer movements precede church planting movements. Now, if you're a Christian in the church here, you'll kind of understand what I'm talking about there, because we've been talking about movement of Jesus, planting churches. Prayer always comes first. As a Christian, we believe that prayer has phenomenal power. And without prayer, God does nothing. God could do whatever he wants because he's all-powerful and sovereign, but God actually restricts and restrains himself from acting because he wants to wait for you to join the party. Can you believe that? The creator of the universe will stop doing some things, will restrain himself from some actions, things that he wants to do, things that he will do eventually, and he'll wait for you and you and you pray, to ask. Prayer isn't about God doing things because you make him do things or tell him to do things or you want certain things. So maybe, God, give me that job or help me with my kids. They're not sleeping. It's really difficult. Or God's not, you know, there to answer all of our whims, although sometimes he does help us with very practical things. Prayer is really about us finally taking up the invitation that's always been open to us to come and have a relationship with God. And then when we ask in that place of relationship, God begins to move in our lives, our families, and the people around us. Do you know that prayer is one of the most universal instincts that human beings have? Most people at some time in their life will pray. In fact, 70% of Australians pray on some kind of regular basis, whether a Christian or whether it's some other religion or whether it's just a secular person just throwing up a prayer to see if anything happens. Most people believe that praying at some point is worthwhile, maybe that something would happen. And as we heard today, sometimes people come to a point of desperation. Danny feeling stuck in the mud, Steve at the bottom, Amy looking for something, and they cry out to God. Now, you may have seen this in the World Cup. Who's been watching the World Cup? Yeah, I know me and Steve and Danny have. So I don't even know if England won this morning. Did they win? How would you know that? You were getting baptized. He's an Englishman, so he's been following the English. So this is actually taken just a few days ago. This is some of the German players with some of the players from Curaçao, which might be a country you've never heard of. I'd never heard of it as well until they made it into the World Cup. Germany had just beaten Curaçao a few days ago, 7-1. Smashed them. That's a big score if you don't know soccer. All you AFL Aussies are like, well, 7-1, okay. That's a big score in soccer, okay? 7-1. At the end of the game, there's Christians in the German team, Christians in the Curaçao team. They come together in the middle of the field, link arms like this, and begin to pray. And the players were obviously interviewed after, because probably a billion people around the world watching this World Cup saw it happen. They interviewed the players after, and they said, on the sporting field, you know, we're against each other, on opposite teams, we're trying to win the game. But because of Jesus Christ, despite being in different teams, we're like brothers because of our common faith. You may have noticed, if you know a bit about soccer and football, on the SBS commentators and the panels that they're having commentate on the games and debrief the games afterwards, there's a player, a German player actually, Kevin Prince Boateng, and he's been on the TV talking about the games. And that was a little bit odd to me, because I was like, okay, I've seen Boateng play for big clubs, played for Barcelona, played in the Bundesliga with Borussia Dortmund, and different big player. And he's on the TV here in Australia. And so I got on Google, as you do, or ChatGPT, and I looked up, why is he? Because he must live here if he's on SBS and on the panel commentating. He does. He lives in Australia now. It's like, oh, there you go. He moved here with his wife, chose to come to Australia. And then I looked a bit deeper into it, because it's pretty weird to move to Australia for a world-class football player to end up here. And he actually had a huge conversion to following Jesus a few years ago. That was part of the reason he ended up in Australia, and his Australian partner is a very strong follower of Jesus. And him in his early 30s, having played world football, having played at the highest level, made millions of dollars from it, was empty. Had no purpose. It wasn't meeting his needs. There must be more to life. And this multi-millionaire world footballer has reached out to Jesus and found him in Australia through his wife and become a Christian. I bet my bottom dollar that someone was praying for Kevin Prince Boateng to come to faith. You would be surprised how many people come to follow Jesus and somebody has been praying with them, praying for them for a long time. The challenge today is to take a step in prayer. So we're talking about extraordinary prayer. Let me break it down for you a little bit here. The challenge is take your ordinary prayer life to the next level, which is extraordinary. So extraordinary prayer for you might be, I've never prayed, today I'm going to pray. That might be extraordinary for you, okay? So we're not saying extraordinary prayer, thinking of some mystic or monk, or you've got to go away for a month up a mountain and pray, that's extraordinary. Christianity isn't about doing great feats for God to prove to God that you're somehow spiritual. No, following Jesus is just taking the next step that's in front of you. Extraordinary for you might be praying every day, because maybe you pray, but it's erratic. Maybe you just pray for your needs. A lot of people do that. Jesus actually said the opposite. He actually said, don't pray for what you need. Seems counterintuitive. Jesus said, don't pray for what you need, because your Father in heaven already knows what you need. Don't worry. God knows your pain. God knows your hurt. God knows your questions. God knows your future. God knows what happened in your past. God knows your anxieties, your concerns right now. God knows what makes you happy. He knows. So don't pray to get. Don't pray to acquire. Don't pray to see or to test God. Pray because you're open to a relationship with Him. He talks, you listen, you talk, He listens. A real relationship with the living God, which was not possible before Jesus Christ. Jesus made that possible. Up until 2,000 years ago, humanity did not have free access to God. But Jesus, being the Son of God, came and made a way, like a ladder. See the ladder up there? It's all connecting now. Like a ladder, He made a connection that prayer is the ladder that you go up. So what would be one step up on the ladder for you in prayer? Would it be from nothing to something? Would it be from sporadic to daily? Here at Discover Church, that's what we encourage people to do. To every day open their Bible and read Scripture, and every day take a few moments to pray. For me, that's usually at 6:30, 7 in the morning. I go out of my alfresco on the back of my house, and I spend sometimes 5 minutes, and then I have a kid jump on me, and it's difficult to pray. Sometimes 20, 30 minutes, but I usually try and practice a little bit of silence, a little bit of solitude, a little bit of Scripture reading early in the morning. So I'm starting my day connected, listening to Him, slow. I'm not starting my day on my phone. I'm starting my day on phone calls. I'm not starting my day turning on the news on the telly, who's been killed now, or who's blowing up who, or what's the oil prices. No, I start my day checking in with Him. Because He is my source of peace. He is my source of hope. Oil will go up and down. House pricing will slump and then it will rise again. My friends and family will come and go and have things go on, but God is unchanging and He is my anchor, the only thing that keeps me sane. And then often, because I have the opportunity as a full-time pastor, often come in here, we have a prayer room out the back here, and sometimes 3-4 mornings a week, I'll spend an hour or two praying in there. And I guess who I pray for? Pray for you. I pray for Frankston. I pray for Casey. I pray that God will do things in our community. I pray that local soccer blokes like Danny and Steve will end up there giving their life to Jesus. I pray for this church what God may do. That's a bit different kind of prayer. The silence and solitude, just sitting with God, is a way of praying. We'll do that at the end this morning. But when I pray in that prayer room, I'm doing something that we call intercession or petitionary prayer. I petition God. I stand in the gap. I intercede. I believe that sometimes we call them radical prayers. I believe for radical things to happen, that God would do unusual, supernatural things around here through this church, with the other churches in Frankston. Because prayer is something that is extraordinary. It can do powerful, powerful things. Richard Foster, one of the great mystic, spiritual, disciplined guys of our day, says that the primary purpose of prayer is to bring us into such a life of communion with the Father that by the power of the Spirit, we are increasingly conformed to the image of His Son. So you've got Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You might have heard that this morning. We baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Because God is three persons in one. The Father is God, Jesus the Son is God, and the Spirit of God is God that fills the believer and comes on the inside. So the primary purpose of that, of prayer, is that we commune with God. Commune means to be intimate and to be close. So we draw near to God and He draws near to us. And through that slow process of prayer every day, just opening our life to God, talking to Him, sharing our problems, asking for things, listening to God, talking to God, we slowly become like Jesus Christ, which is the ultimate aim of Christianity. Not to become the best version of yourself, not to become richer, not to become a better dad. It's to become like Jesus Christ. And if you become like Jesus Christ, you'll be a better dad, you'll be a better mum, you'll be a better boss, you'll be a better worker, you'll be a better friend, you'll be a better person. Because Jesus is what we want to become like, not like some picture of something else in this world. So Jesus tells His disciples in Luke chapter 11, this is our main passage we're going to look at quickly today, and then we'll practice some prayer together. I'm going to read this to you from Luke's Gospel, Most of you will know the Lord's Prayer from Matthew's Gospel. So Matthew's version of the prayer is a little bit different to Luke's version of the prayer. But when Luke tells the story of Jesus with his 12 disciples, he puts this interesting sentence in there that's not in Matthew's story. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples to pray." So the disciples are spending a lot of time with Jesus, right, every day. And they've seen him pray many, many times. So there's another time where Jesus is away. He's in a certain place, which is very important. Because when you pray, you've got to go to a place. That's why I go out on my al fresco, I go into the prayer room, I go to a prayer place. You might have a prayer chair, you might have a prayer park that you go to, you might have a cafe you like to sit in. You've got to have a certain place to pray. And Jesus has gone off to his certain place again, and usually it's up a mountain or in a desert or somewhere quiet. And disciples have observed this for months and months and months, maybe years. And then this one time he comes out of the place of prayer and they say to him, "Teach us to do that. Like, how do you do that? What are you doing? How do you pray? What does it mean? Is there a technique to it? Should we take notes about it? Like, what are you doing when you pray?" So Jesus says to them, "Well, let me show you how to pray. Pray in such a way." He didn't say pray the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over. Although there's nothing wrong with that, and most people who aren't even Christians know the Lord's Prayer. But he actually didn't say pray the Lord's Prayer. We've called it the Lord's Prayer, and we've prayed it over and over. He actually said, pray like this. This is how you should pray. See it there in bold in verse 2? This is a template for prayer, or this is a way of praying. This is kind of what you need to do when you pray. Let's look at it in verse 2. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. Often we hear, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come soon. In Matthew's version, it says, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come soon. Verse 3, give us each day the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and don't let us yield to temptation. So we've got four different things here. Let's break this down here. The first one, about keeping the Lord's name holy, or hallowed be your name. First thing we do when we pray is we acknowledge God. We praise God. We recognize that he is holy, meaning he's perfect, he's righteous, his words are always true. He knows what he's doing. He's God of the universe. We are not in control, therefore we're saying. We do not know all things. We do not have all answers. So we position ourselves, you are holy, and I'm holy, but only through Jesus Christ, not because of my own good deeds, but I'm holy because I believe in Jesus, but you are God of the universe. Let's get that right. He's the Father in heaven. We are like sons and daughters coming to him like children, coming to listen to him and talk to him. Secondly, we ask, give us this day our daily bread, or give us, as it says here, each day the food that we need. So this is saying to God, provide with us for our spiritual needs, our physical needs, our emotional needs, our relational needs. God, you know what I need, and I'm just praying, give me what I need today. So God gives us the money we need, the food we need, the friends we need, the emotional support we need. That's the trusting relationship in prayer, that I'm trusting that you're giving me what I need. You're not giving me more money than I need, more friends than I need. You are giving me just the right amount. And I'm trusting that the people in my life, the money I make, the situations I'm in, that you already know about those. You know my needs. Lord, let that happen the way that you need that to happen. Again, it's about trust. It's about faith. It's about trusting in God. And forgive my sins as I forgive those who have sinned against me. Interesting that out of all the things that we could do, Jesus said, when you pray, do this one thing, forgive. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, go to the gym, make sure there's one thing out of all this, just make sure you get to the gym every day. He didn't say, look, in all this praying, I'm going to give you a lot of stuff that's pretty spiritual, but, you know, look after yourself. Have that chocolate bar if you need that, or go for that, you know, go down to the hot springs, have that hot bath and just take some time for yourself if that's what you need. No, he said, this is the most important thing that I could tell you. When you're in the place of prayer and you stand before God in all of his glory, you know, when I pray, I feel very much naked, like God sees right through me, like all of my self-defense mechanisms and my manliness and all of that, I just feel like it's all just stripped away. And when I stand before God in prayer, I feel very, very like God can see everything. God knows everything. I feel vulnerable. It's a vulnerable place to be. I'm meant to be a strong leader, guy, family, you know, Aussie dude. But I step before God in prayer and it's like he sees through all that stuff. He knows who I really am. And he knows for me and for you that we find forgiveness hard. We feel hurt. We feel disappointed in our relationships. We feel offended at God because life is difficult. And why, if he's a good God, why doesn't he make things work out better? Feel frustrated at our colleagues or our kids or whatever. And when we hold on to those things and that disappointment, hurt, letdown of life turns into resentment, kind of goes yuck, and it starts to decay and starts to smell, starts to rot on the inside of us, our pain that we've held on to, our resentment against people, those moments of when people wronged us, and that becomes this unforgiveness. God knows that that is the worst possible thing for the human soul, to hold on to unforgiveness, to hold on to the things that have been done to you. And Jesus gives us a great tip. When you're in prayer and you're with God and you're in that place of openness and vulnerability, just let it go. Let it go to me. Say sorry, forgive. Let those people go. Let those situations go. Let your anxieties go. I mean, we have a mental health epidemic in our society. The more that Western societies like Australia have secularized, the more our anxiety goes up, our depression goes up. We're getting richer. We have more opportunities to experience things. We have wealth. We have all of these things, but we've secularized and moved away from God and religion, and depression is up, divorce is up, estrangement from family is up. All kinds of things are through the roof. Our mental health is not good. The more we unhitch from God, the less mentally, relationally, emotionally well people are. And isn't it interesting, when we connect to God and connect directly in prayer, we're told to do hard things like forgive people. Forgive people who have hurt us and forgive. We need to also repent and let go where we have hurt others. And then finally, Jesus says, pray that you'll not yield to temptation. So protection from harm, from evil. We cry out to a God who is a loving Father. When we pray, we've got on the next slide here, and then we'll move into some prayer. This is the position. We communicate with a loving Father. Jesus said, cry out to your Father who's in heaven. When you pray, pray, our Father. Our Father, not my Father, our Father. That is the relationship. He is a good God, a loving Father. Now, if you had a difficult father or an absent father or a drunk father or whatever, it may be easier for you to think of a grandmother, think of a loving aunt, think of an older, wiser person that you felt protected by, you felt nurtured by, you felt was always there for you. That's the figure, that's the idea of the God that we cry out to. So I want to jump forward this morning. There's some little handouts on the chair there if you want to pick those up. Maybe someone can give me one because I don't have one. Thank you, Sue. If you don't have one, just lift up your hand and we'll get you one, because this is, have we got some spares, Gigi? Or if you, there might be one on a chair next to you, just make sure everyone's got one. We've got a lot of people over this side, so if there's any spare ones, give us a wave. I want to quickly take you through this, and then we're going to stand up and practice some of these. Actually, let's do one at a time. We'll do one simple prayer and then we'll give you a moment to pray. So we're going to have no music, then we're going to have music, and then we're going to have no music, then we're going to have music, and let's have a go at praying here. Simple prayer is when we pray in very few words. It's very close to silent prayer, where we actually don't use words at all. We just pray by being silent before God. As it says on your little handout here, simple prayer, Lord, here is what is happening in my life right now. It's a starting point if you're learning to pray. It's a beginning prayer. Simple prayer is coming to God exactly as you are. You can be This is one of the things I love about prayer. You can be brutally honest before God. I hate this. I'm frustrated. You read the Psalms right in the middle of your Bible. There's 150 Psalms, mostly written by King David. A lot of them start with anger, anguish, depression, hurt, pain, people problems. This is simple prayer. You can just come and just vent. Just let go. It's really, really easy just to have an honest conversation with God. And it's a simple prayer, so you don't have to have any fancy words. You don't have to even be a Christian. You can cry out to God even without a relationship with God. And a simple prayer, God will hear. It might sound something like, God, are you there? Reveal yourself to me. God, I'm struggling with X at the moment. Child, work, insert whatever problem you have there. Help me, Lord God. It might not even be a full sentence. It could just be a few words. When Jesus tells the story of the religious man praying in the temple versus the tax collector, who was the kind of the outcast of society, he says that the tax collector was in a corner beating his chest, crying out to God, saying, I am a sinner. I'm rotten. There's something wrong with me. Very simple prayer. Help me, God. Show me, God. Reveal to me, God. While the religious man was praying prayers with many, many words. So if we can just put on a little bit of background music, let's just all stay seated for this one. Just encourage you, as the music comes on, just close your eyes. And I want to give you